Hey, good morning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Raider Wrap here with Jimmy Lanua on KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080. Streaming on KYMNradio.net. It's 10 o'clock, and are we going to ever see the sunshine again? It doesn't look very promising over the next several days anyhow. Temperature is going to be okay, though. High today of about 61 with cloudy skies. The winds are going to be coming out of the west at about 15 miles an hour. Gusts as high as 25, so breezy for sure. Tonight, 40% chance of some showers, cloudy, and cooling off to only around 48. And then for tomorrow, showers likely with thunderstorms possible. A high of 53, breezy conditions. East, northeast winds 10 to 20, gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. And then for Sunday night, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm. Temperatures staying steady right around 51 for Sunday night. And their winds again continue with gusts as high as 30 miles an hour out of the southeast. For Monday, chance of showers and thunderstorms likely again. About a 50-50 chance. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Gusts as high as 25 and warming up to about 52. For Monday night, partly cloudy. Low around 41. Winds still whipping up by gusts as high as 25. And then for Tuesday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 73. We currently have overcast skies in the Cannon Valley, and that's okay, I guess. 53 is our current temperature. We've got a pretty good show for you today. It's really good, I think. Jeff Wright, boys lacrosse team, will be joining us this morning via the old telephone. And then Lexi Halverson, the girls lacrosse coach, who took over last year, and she'll be joining us this morning as well. Liz Campbell and Evan Lowe will interview boys track captains John Newberg and Jaden Heidela. And that's going to be on Meet the Raider. And then Liz Campbell will give us this week's scoreboard for this week's current activities. Also going on this morning, started this morning, there was a little book fair going on at the Northfield Ice Arena. And that goes on till about 12:30 today. It's the $5 bag sale, so they'll provide you a bag. You go on in, check the books you want to see, and for $5 you can then fill that bag up. And then, of course, after that, if you don't want to get picked clean through all the books and all whatever, then afterwards there'll be a kind of a salvage sale between 1 and 3 where you just go in and grab any books that are left over that might be of interest to you. So that's going on at the Northfield Ice Arena this morning, a book fair going on. So that's just one of the events going on. Let's find out what has been going on all week, shall we? Liz Campbell in the Raider Scoreboard.
Hello and good morning, everybody. I am your host, Liz Campbell, and you are listening to this week's Raider Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. On Saturday, our softball team had a packed day of games. They first played Zambrotta Mazeppa, winning 3-1. St. Anthony was their next matchup, and they lost to them 1-6. Score 9-8. Emma Prutka had 3 runs and Grace Mostad had 2 on the night. They played Rochester Century in yet another tough matchup on Thursday, beating them with a score of 1-0. Emma Prutka yet again had Northfield's only Mostad pitched no runs. The Clay Target team had a matchup against Morristown Gun Club on Sunday. The Raider girls golf team had a triangular meet on Monday against Red Wing and Rochester John Marshall, and they had their Big Nine Conference tournament on Thursday, where they placed first in the conference. Karina Johnson took first overall individually, and Emerson Garley took second overall individually.
Really?
The boys' golf team also had a triangular against Red Wing and Rochester JM on Monday, and they placed first. They had the Big Nine Conference tournament on Wednesday, where they placed second overall. Our boys and girls track and field team traveled to Austin for a triangular meet on Monday, competing against Mankato West and Austin. Both the boys and the girls teams placed second overall. On the boys' side, the 4x200 meter relay placed first and now has the 11th fastest time in the state right now. Evan Lowe placed second in the 2 mile, and Ben Heinrichs is on the leaderboard in the 800 meter for the
My mic is on. Hello? Hello? Jeff, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Cool. We're wrapping up the scoreboard in 2 minutes. We'll have a 60-second commercial, and it'll come live to you.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Elena French competed in this meet yesterday, where she had a personal best and threw 12.09 meters. She is now ranked third overall in the state of Minnesota. The baseball team played Red Wing here at home on Monday, winning 7-6. Tegan Melgren had 2 runs, and Jack Pribble, Nico Vandewalker, Aaron Reister, Austin Kep, and Jake Geiger each had 1 run. On Tuesday, they played Rochester Mayo, winning 12-11. Jake Geiger had 4 runs, and Camden Kaiser and Seth Thompson each had 2. The Raider girls lacrosse team played Mankato on Monday, losing 9-3. On Monday, our boys lacrosse team played Mankato here at home, winning 13-4. They played again on Thursday, facing off against Lakeville South, beating the Cougars 8-7. We have no player data on either of these games at this time. The boys' tennis team traveled to Mankato to play East on Tuesday, and they played West later in the week on Thursday. The cancellations from yesterday's rain and wind include the girls' golf meet was canceled, the boys' baseball game was postponed until May 1st, and the softball game was rescheduled to April 29th. That's a wrap on this week's scoreboard for this week's Raider Wrap. Keep tuning in to KYMN 95.1 The One for more sports.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
There's nothing better than riding my bike and spending time outside. When knee pain started to get in the way, I knew it was time to find help. I did my research and chose the orthopedics team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics. I was impressed by their personalized care. They really took the time to listen to my concerns so I could make an informed decision. 3 months later, I couldn't be happier. My knee feels great and I'm back outside. I appreciate the extra care I got from the orthopedic team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics.
Your town, your life, your radio station. KYMN, Northfield.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 The One. Jimmy LaRue with you on a Saturday morning. It's 10 after 10, and we got some overcast skies, and it's going to be that way. I don't think we'll even see the sun until probably Friday, according to the extended forecast, but hopefully that they'll be wrong again, and that'll all change around for us. But for now, we got some overcast skies. Going to be breezy out there as well. Cam Melgren had a last-second goal, lifted the Raiders to an 8-7 victory over Lakeville South on Thursday at Memorial Field. It makes them 3-3. Head coach Jeff Wright of the lacrosse team joins me this morning. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jimmy. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So it sounds like, I don't know if it was, I wouldn't say it's controversial, but they had about 2 seconds left in the contest, And somehow Peterson found Melgren and put it in before the horn or on the horn, but needless to say, you got the victory.
Yes, needless to say, we got the victory. It was a huge win for us, and we decided to attack the goal with about 20 seconds left and had a great opportunity to score. Cooper Rand came around the crease and shot the ball, hit the goalie in the head. It deflected out of bounds, and we knew that we had to have a quick play with 2.7 seconds left, and it was just one of those you know, just huge opportunities for George to find Cam right on the crease and buried the goal for us.
So you guys practice that? Is that an actual play, or was it just something they kind of came up with?
We do have a play, but we have typically, we want to have more than 2.7 seconds left to execute that play. So it was more of a inbound it and head to the goal, get that pass off, and hope that someone's able to catch and shoot that ball. And that happened.
Well, that's good. It makes you 3-3. You lost three in a row right off the get-go. You lost to Egan, Farmington, and Lakeville North. Last year you guys had some great expectations, and they fell a little bit short. And what do you feel about your team this year as far as their overall potential?
Yeah, coming off of our 22 season, we were Big Nine champs and made it to the Section 1 final game against Farmington. Fell short there. Lost some big-time players that season. Last year was more of a rebuilding season. And, I have always been one to schedule tough non-conference opponents. And then within the Big Nine, it's kind of a dogfight every game. And so last year was a bit of a down year for us. But we knew coming into this season that, guys would be mature, mature that much more, and their game has grown. And so we've got a really, really good mix of guys that have been really battling for us, and though the scoreboard might not show it early on, with those extremely tough games that we played, we have seen steady growth every single game, which has been really, really great for us. And and it definitely feels good to be on a three-game winning streak as well.
You are pretty heavy with seniors this year. You've got a couple of sophomores and juniors out there. It looks like George Peterson is a sophomore, and he's on the team and contributing. But it is heavy with a lot of those seniors out there. So is that the majority of the team that you put on the field?
It's kind of a mix. You mentioned George. We actually have three sophomores that have been just dynamite for us this year, and George Peterson, Grant Selko, and Bridger Riley, and those three have been contributing a lot on the offense. And it was tough. We lost Bridger last year to a broken wrist very early on in our season, and so to have him back and healthy this year is big time for us and our success. But you're right. We do have a lot of seniors, and we do rely on them. And a lot of those seniors are huge contributors for us, which will help for our success this season.
Well, yeah. It looks like you got a lot of hockey players out there. Does that seem to bode well?
Yeah, our defense is led by our dynamic duo of Cooper Rand and Ty Frank, and then we've got our backbone in the goal and Trenton Shimoda. All three of those guys are hockey players as well. And then, we talk about our sophomores. It's a very talented class, and Garrett Hernke is also a standout sophomore defender for us, and so we count on him heavily as well.
So how do you feel about the games coming up? So you lost 3, won 3, now you got Owatonna, mm-hmm. usually a conference showdown there a little bit. Always a cross-town rival. What are your expectations with those?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned, a little bit ago, it's a dogfight every single time we play Owatonna. It doesn't matter if it's here, if it's there. So we expect a really good game on Monday, and I know both teams are much improved, and the style of play is different. Again, they are more just of a super gritty team. We're going to be more finesse based, and so that should be a really good one. It's going to be a big one within the conference play. And then we head to Rochester on Wednesday, and Rochester is actually a co-op team this year, where all of their schools are combined. So it's kind of a Rochester United team. And then we finish the week with Eastview Apple Valley, and they've got a very, very strong team as well. So we've got three big games ahead of us, and three that we have high hopes for. And so, again, we'll take it day by day, though.
So Rochester, is this the first year they've done that combined?
It is.
So it's basically the best of all of them down there. So you probably haven't never seen them before. I mean, do you have any type of scouting report or tape or anything like that that you can get before you play them?
You know, they've got some guys. You know, Rochester Mayo was the team to beat last year. They graduated a lot of seniors, and a lot of their depth graduated as well. You know, it hasn't been a great start for those guys, but again, you know, what we tell our guys is you treat every game, you know, obviously it's a 0-0, and everyone's record is 0-0. You know, once the final horn goes, hopefully we're the ones raising our sticks and, you know, moving on with a W. But, again, we won't overlook anybody, and we just want to come ready to play.
Do lacrosse guys, do they play rain, shine? Does it matter?
Rain, shine. We played against Lakeville North. We at least got that game started, and right as halftime, you know, halftime started, there were lightning strikes and thunder, and so we went on about an hour and a half delay. We did get to finish that game though. So, you know, we are unique where we will play through rain and just messy conditions. Thankfully, that game was on turf, so it wasn't terrible. But yeah, we haven't. Fortunately, we haven't had anything canceled so far.
Yeah, I suppose with the thunderstorms, you started getting lightning in the air. Now you're begging for problems there. So, So Monday, chance of showers pretty much throughout the day. But the southwest winds, the 10 to 20 miles an hour, gusts as high as 25 or 30 miles an hour. Does that affect what you guys got to do differently on the field?
It does, you know, from a communication standpoint, you know, as our staff, you know, as we're calling in plays, and even for the guys on the field, as they're trying to communicate with one another, the winds create quite a bit of chaos for us. But again, that's both teams involved. And so just as, you know, they have to deal with it, so do we. And again, it's just going to kind of be one of those dogfights of a game. And so conditions just kind of add to that layer.
That one's in Owatonna. And then you get Rochester, and it's Eastview Apple Valley will be home in Northfield, and that'll be Saturday, May 4th. So you've had a good share of your games thus far early on the season, pretty much at home. So now you kind of go on the road a little bit.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jeff, what do you got going on today? Is there any practice going on, or you got to go meet the guys, or?
No practice today. Just trying to. Trying to rest up. We, you know, again, with six games under our belt now, it's kind of, we kind of front loaded our gameplay. So, just giving the guys the weekend to rest. And again, a 3-game week next week as well. So, just hoping that they're dialed in. They've got some homework to watch some film, take some notes. And again, hopefully they're ready on Monday.
I was going to say on Monday, the contest isn't until 7:30. So I was just curious if, you do a walkthrough, or you do anything pre-practice, do anything like that, or what do you do?
No, we'll just make sure guys are ready after school, and get them a meal, and then get on the buses and head down to Owatonna. Looking forward to seeing that new school and being able to play on that new you know, complex, the facility there. So no walkthroughs, just gonna mentally, physically prepare for the Huskies.
Well, very good. Well, Jeff, appreciate your time this morning. Wish you the best of luck, and the lacrosse team as well. So good luck, and we'll catch up to you later in the season.
Sounds great. Thanks again for having me.
Awesome. Jeff Wright, the head coach of the boys lacrosse team, 3-3 on the season thus far. We'll take a break, and we'll come back in a couple of minutes, and hopefully I'll get Lexi Halverson on the phone this morning. Stick around. We've got more coming your way on the Raider Wrap on 95.1 The One and AM 1080. KYMN.
Purchasing a home is a big decision, which is why your mortgage should be carefully considered. At Community Resource Bank, our lenders have decades of experience financing everything from starter homes to dream homes, and refinancing and remodeling along the way. Go online to crb.bank and do a quick calculation of how much you qualify for, or stop into one of our branches in Cannon Falls, Roseville, or Northfield. Community Resource Bank, let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Northfield is a unique town with passionate people. So much passion, it can be hard to keep up. That's why, if you're into art, local politics, sports, or anything else, Northfield Public Broadcasting is here to serve you. NPB is a free public access local television station that accepts video submissions for whatever you care about. NPB is a reflection of the community that makes it. Does that include you? Look for Northfield Public Broadcasting on the web to watch videos that are free for any.
Hello?
Lexi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What are you doing? You setting up a big gig somewhere?
Yeah, I have a big 400-person event today.
Nice. Where's that at?
Yeah. At International Market Square.
Oh, sweet. Very cool. All right. Well, we're just half a commercial away, and we'll come live to you.
Thompson. Go Raiders!
Hey, welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 to 1 and AM 1080. It's about 22 minutes after 10 o'clock and still overcast skies and still 53. It looks like it might get to 61 today, but pretty much it's going to be cloudy and overcast, some light showers or thunderstorms occurring between tonight and through Wednesday. I know we need the rain. April showers do bring May flowers, but I don't know. How does the April showers affect the girls' lacrosse team, Lexi? How are you?
Hi, I'm great. So as far as the weather goes, it's been an interesting season. We've been indoors a lot, which we don't love, but we're still able to get some work done. We had a classroom session yesterday with all the showers and such, so it's great to know that my girls are still learning, but, you know, we love to be out on the field more than anything.
Awesome. So, what are you, 1-2 now? You just lost another one against Mankato here. Was it last week? So now Monday you got Owatonna, so you'll be at home. So the boys are going to Owatonna. They're coming here. So this is your second year as head coach, right?
Yep.
How do you like what's going on with your team? I mean, I know that last year when we talked, you talked about, you know, just kind of changing up the style a little bit because some of the rules have changed a little bit and just changing up the whole style of play for the girls. And I'm sure you got a lot of players that are back from last year. So how has that now transitioned into your second year?
Yeah, so we were able to return everybody except for one who, you know, she's got an amazing skiing career, so we're cheering her on. But with everybody returning, you know, I was able to really just get after it the first week of play. And like you said, we've had some even more rule changes this season that just kind of promote a faster style of play. So it's been really great to see, you know, the change in play from last year, increase in skill level this year. And with the new girls that we were able to bring in too, they're picking up right away. And it's just great to have such a palpable program.
How many youths do you have out?
I want to say 12.
Okay. So do you get a chance to rotate everybody in then pretty much because there's only 12, or how does that work?
Yeah, actually with the new rules, we switched to quarters from half. So subbing looks a lot different than it ever has for lacrosse. You know, I would say we sub a little less now, but we're able to play in lines a little bit more, kind of like hockey does, which is kind of making the subbing going easier and being able to get more girls out on the field as the game goes on.
Well, and it probably helps, you know, give the legs a rest a little bit here and there too.
Yeah, for sure. They appreciate that part.
Right. So any surprises this year? Anybody that showed up and you maybe was like most improved or like just tuned their game up a little bit more than you maybe expected? Or
Yeah, you know, just big things out of our junior captain, Kelly O'Meara. She took this offseason pretty seriously. As a returning captain, you know, she got the team together, but took a lot of personal time to just really fine-tune her game, making sure that she is showing up on both sides of the ball. And it's been great to see over the course of the last few games. And then I guess what's been unique to our program, but also just this year, our senior captain, Natalia Avila, she switched from playing goalie last season to joining the field this year, just wanting to be back on the field to get a little bit more motion. And that's been looking really nice for her. And I'm excited to see over the course of the next few conference games how she really impacts the team.
I think, didn't she scored? I thought she scored last time out or something like that. I was reading something with regarding to Avila, and I thought she had put one in the net for you.
I believe maybe in the first game, but I know she's heavy on assists right now and looking to help the team with assists. But unfortunately, we had a couple of early season injuries that's going to affect our lineups a little bit. So we're going to see a shift in movement on the field, and we'll see what you know, Nati's capable of depending on where she plays over the course of the season.
So you open the season on Saturday, April 13th against Lakeville North here at home, and they kind of dominated 17-2. Is that because it was the beginning of the season, some nerves going on, maybe the team was trying to get comfortable with each other, or was Lakeville North actually that good?
I would definitely say a lot of both. Lakeville North has been a strong program since its founding. And, you know, like, it's the program that I grew up playing for, so I have nothing but good things to say. And I actually graduated from South, but just Lakeville as a whole lacrosse community, they start young, they play a lot. And I think that's something that we're trying to bring to the Northfield community, is getting a lot more youth out to play lacrosse at an earlier age. So the concepts that we teach are not new, even when the rules change, you know. But I think, you know, on our side, it was a lot of nerves, the addition of new girls, and then, again, just unfortunate early season injuries that kind of took us out. I think adapting to the new rule changes was a little tough for our team, whereas, like I said, the Lakeville communities, those girls play lacrosse 365 days a year, so they were kind of ready for those rule changes to happen in real time.
So explain to me what those rule changes are and what affected the game there.
Yeah, so the biggest one that they're looking for right now, refs are looking for, is it's to enhance player safety. So they're calling it the 10-2, which means you have to keep your stick between your shoulders when you're playing defense. Previously, and, you know, out on the East Coast, you'd see a lot of girls just kind of tilt their stick horizontally and try to play defense like that. They're trying to get rid of bruises and all that stuff. So, you know, we're seeing a lot more calls just off the bat. Another one, you know, is the self-start. That isn't really new, but instead of resetting the ball now, it's just continuous motion, kind of like boys lacrosse. So you get a whistle, but you keep moving, and that's pretty new for our community. But other than that, there hasn't been too much that we've been working through that hasn't been introduced in the last year. It's just the increase of speed of play has been, you know, really what's been getting us. So when
you're playing defense, so it's basically you have to almost hold your stick vertically between your shoulders, right?
Yep. And, you know, like, as coaches and a former player myself, I totally understand the benefit for attack. But I was a defender, so I don't understand the benefit for defense. Of course, we teach play defense with your feet, not with your stick.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, your stick shouldn't be, you know, even really an issue. But it does get tough when you get into situations in the 8-meter when you kind of have to lock down and play some really tight defense and your stick drops off your shoulder and you get called for it,
you know,
when you're still playing really good defense. So That's what's getting tough about it, but, you know, the girls will learn and I'll learn too, and that's what's exciting about the new changes.
So. Well, I was going to say, that's got to be a mindset, because for me, I mean, the natural impulse for me would be like to, you want to stick your stick out and, you know, try to, you know, defend, you know, knock it off their stick or, you know, get it in their face a little bit or whatever. It just seems like the natural thing to want to do, you know, that's you're defending that thing. So that's got to be a huge disciplinary thing. It's like, okay, you got to keep it in, got to keep it in.
Yeah. You know, it's almost, I grew up playing basketball as well, and it's almost as touchy as reaches, you know?
Right.
So if you get a reach foul on basketball, it's like, well, I didn't do anything, you know, but you did. And that's kind of what this 10-2 rule is for lacrosse. And that's, I think, a learning curve, but luckily we grabbed some basketball players this year, so we're kind of able to translate that for them. And that's going well for them.
Nice.
On the defensive.
Sounds like they're trying to get more points or something, maybe. You know, get the offense going, because people like it when people score.
Definitely, definitely. And our offense is, you know, a little under rebuild, but Gwen Tapper returned, so she's an anchor down there, and we're really looking to just get her started.
Let's see, what do we get next? Yeah, Owatonna on Monday, then you got Century and Mayo coming up, and that's all spread out pretty much over the week. So a lot of activity going on in the next 7 days.
Oh yeah, lots of games. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun to grow and play some challenging teams in our conference and just see where we're at there, you know.
So you get a lot of games there. So maybe basically almost every other day, and so it's over a period of 7 days. But still. A lot of games, not so much practice. What do you do during the practice time then?
We really like to go game situation. So we'll start with some skill breakdown, and then we get right into full field gameplay. We've realized that our girls learn best when they're just playing lacrosse. So we'll let them play for almost an hour every day and correct not only skill, but also play and field movement, ball movement, and just get them going that way. So, you know, they really don't get a break, but at the same time, we see a more consistent level of gameplay when they're always in game mode.
Very nice. So what's in store today? I think you're working off-site today, so you got a big event coming up for you this afternoon. Are you going to do anything with the girls at all, or are you just going to let them rest for the weekend?
Well, today is prom, so we have, we're not with them today, but they have some requirements set by their captains to make sure their sticks are still in their hands over the weekend. And then on the coaches' side, you know, we'll be breaking down some film and looking for some educational films, too, to just share with them for Monday before they get back on the field together.
Okay, so you'll meet the team a little bit early before the 7:15 start and kind of go over things and not really a walkthrough, but you're going to show some tape, talk about the Owatonna team and give them some game advice.
Absolutely. And we're very familiar with Owatonna, you know, and the biggest thing that we like to do after not being together in a practice format for a couple of days is just kind of come back together, take one big collective team breath, reset our goals for the day, and then go from there. So, you know, really having Monday games is difficult for everybody, but I think we're starting to get kind of in a mental, emotional habit to focus in on it. So,
very nice. You still like being a head coach?
Absolutely.
Are you still glad you took the job?
Absolutely. It's always a great community to be around, and I've learned a lot over the course of the last 2 years, and I think, you know, just coaching at a lower level taught me how to be a good lacrosse coach, and coaching at this upper level has taught me how to be a good leader, and I'm able to translate between coaching and my day job, and, you know, I think these kids that I get to work with every day are just a spectacular group of individuals. I really cannot say enough about just who they are as people. And that's something that I didn't get a lot of at other schools and coaching at a lower level. So I, for that, am thankful.
So not to stir up any controversy, but have you ever aspired to maybe going higher, maybe into the collegiate or professional type of coaching?
You know, I think with lacrosse making the Olympics for 2028, I think I've got my goal set in general, just kind of looking at what's next. But when it comes down to it, there is a certain level of, competition that you get to have at the high school level that doesn't really happen at the collegiate level. And, you know, like I played D3 myself and my sister played at a D1 school, and I don't think I would find any joy coaching a college team, but, you know, maybe professional, maybe a world team. But at this point, I think hanging around Northfield is
just fine. Are you still active as a lacrosse player? I think I lost Lexi Helmerson, our head coach. Hi, are you there? There you are. Are you still active as a lacrosse player?
Yep. Yeah, I still play in the summer times, and then I'm actually playing in the Coaches Cup this summer in Vail.
In Vail, Colorado?
Yes, I am.
Coaches Cup. What is that?
So every so often, there's a tournament after some of these big summer AAU tournaments where the coaches will gather teams and play. They have them. They're mostly at the premier tournaments, but the Vail Shootout is a big lacrosse premier tournament, and they host a Coaches Cup tournament every year. So got invited to play with one of my former teammates and my sister, and really excited about it.
Wow. Well, good for you. So you're still out there hustling and bustling and making it happen. Are your muscles a little more sore after you play a game of lacrosse?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing about playing in Colorado is that elevation really gets to you. But thankfully, this is the second one I've played out there and the third time I've played out there in general. So I'm looking forward to, you know, really diving into my personal training over the course of the next month and being with the girls and being able to adjust my passes and catches to their skill level has really also helped me develop as a player, too. So
very nice. Well, Lexi, I appreciate you coming. Well, next time you got to get in the studio if you can.
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you inside. So enjoy your day today. I know you got a very, very busy schedule ahead of you, and good luck to you against Owatonna.
Thank you. It was great chatting, and I can't wait to come back again soon.
Sounds good. Lexi Helverson, the head coach of the Raiders girls lacrosse team. They're 1-2 on the season, and Owatonna coming to town on Monday. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll do Meet the Raider with Evan Lowe and Liz Campbell. And this week, I do believe we've got some track stars on the docket for you this morning. So it'll be John Newberg and Hayden Heidelaw will be joining us this morning with Liz and Evan. Coming up just in a couple of minutes. Stick around. We'll be right back on 95.1 The One and AM 1080 KYMN.
NCC Builders has built and renovated custom homes and commercial buildings since 1972. We are committed to providing the Northfield area with high quality construction with a singular focus to bring your vision to life. I'm Adam, the president of NCC Builders. You can rely on our experience and attention to detail for your home or business. Take the first step. Contact us at nccbuilders.com or 507-645-8975.
The man, the yellow van, called Service Master.
Water or fire damage? The experts at Service Master by Iatt provide peace of mind when disaster strikes your home or business. Don't know what to do next? We do. Demand the yellow van and call Service Master by Iatt today.
Demand the yellow van.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. Quick look at the old forecast. Cloudy skies, a high of 61 today. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 with gusts as high as 25. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers. Cloudy, cooling off to around 46. Then tomorrow, showers, thunderstorms likely. A high of 53, breezy conditions. East-northeast winds, 10 to 20. Gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. And for Sunday night, showers pretty much 100% chance, or chance of a thunderstorm along the way. And the temperature is just going to hang right around 51. East winds 10 to 15 with gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. And then Monday, much of the same. Chances showers and thunderstorms. And warming up to about 53. Southwest winds 10 to 20 with gusts as high as 25 to 30 miles an hour for Monday. Overcast skies currently in the Cannon Valley. We're about 10:42 right now, and we're still hovering right about, oh, we dropped a couple of temperatures, dropped a couple of degrees actually. We're down to 48 now. So let's find out what's going on with our track team and this week's Meet the Raider with Evan Lowe and Liz Kemble.
So track has always been said to be more of an individual sport, but it's the moments when the team really comes together that have been my favorite moments.
I think there's a lot of sports that are like high intensity, so you kind of have to buckle down and like focus, versus track, it's a lot more easy flowing.
You get to be with a group of people that we have football players coming together, swimmers, cross-country kids, basketball players, and then being able to be with all your school friends and coming together to be part of one team.
Hello, Raider Nation. You are tuned into Meet the Raider, Northfield's youth-led sports radio show. This is Liz Campbell.
And this is Evan Lowe. We're the hosts of this week's Meet the Raider. Today, we have my fellow boys track captains, John Newberg and Jaden Heidela, joining me in the studio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
So I'm excited to have this conversation today. For the listeners, if you know much about track, you know that it's hectic. There's three different events, throwers, field events, track kids, and there's a lot going on. Today we're going to go through and follow up with all the different parts of track, so I'm looking forward to that. And talking about that, what specific events do you participate in track and field?
I'm participating in boys shot put and boys discus.
And then I'm more of the mid-distance guy, so think like the 400s, 800s.
John, you said you're a thrower. How are they doing so far this season?
We got a lot of guys that are making steady growth. Most of us are at practice late trying to get our throws in, because we only have two discus rings, and that can have clog up as one person can only throw at a time. So it leads to us staying late, and we got a lot of guys taking late reps, working late with coaches, and our coaching staff this year has really been helpful by allowing us to stay late and having open schedules after practice.
Let me tell you, good sir, I mean, mid-distance has been doing absolutely fantastic this season, especially the younger guys. I mean, people like Ben Heinrichs, this is the first year in high school track, and he just, ran 212, which puts him on the, or Evan, what's it called, like the leaderboard for the school?
Ben Heinrichs is an 800 runner, and he's already within the top 10 of the past couple of years. That's awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, kind of like what Evan was saying, he's top 10 for the last 15 years as a freshman in high school, which is absolutely fantastic. And then, I mean, Evan over here, I mean, he's not doing too bad himself. Tour, no. All around, I'd say, no, it's a very strong season so far in the mid-distance.
For sure. And John, you mentioned a shot ring before. Could you just kind of explain, like, how the throwing side of track is set up and what that looks like at a day-to-day practice?
Yeah, so for a day-to-day practice for throwers is normally we would meet in the weight room. We do about an hour lift that is luckily set up through Cannon Strength. Then we head over to the track, which is over by the middle school, and we have four rings, which is what you throw out of. Just you enter the ring and then have like a kind of a setup structure to your throwing. So you only have 7 feet of distance within your ring that you can exit out of, or else it will be not counted. And so we have four of those, and then we have two discus rings, which are a bit longer. I believe they're around 10 feet.
And Jaden, could you kind of walk us through what a mid-distance practice would look like for the boys? Maybe like a little bit of sprinting, a little bit of distance, just maybe the day-to-day of that?
Of course. So I'd say mid-distance, you have to focus on both speed and endurance, where, you know, long distance, it's always been more the endurance aspect, obviously, and then short distance, speed aspect. But mid-distance, you have to work on both. It's a nice middle ground in between.
Yeah. And John, the rings that you throw out of, there's two different types of throwing events. There's the discus and the shot put. Could you kind of talk through the different throws?
Yeah. So with shot put, it's a 12-pound ball. It's a sphere that you, the only way you can throw it is if it's lodged on the side of your neck. It sounds a little weird, but once you get the hang of it, it makes more sense. And then you're just trying to pretty much, it's always been that shot put's more of a brute force type of exercise versus discus is more of a like flowy melodic motion that takes a lot more form than strength. So you could be one of the weaker guys and still be throwing like a good distance to throw, and say your second or first year of track would be 100 feet. And you have these guys that are not the biggest, but they'd be tall or lengthy, and in discus they'd excel, but in shot they always fall short. Versus shot, you'll see more of these big, I guess you could call it offensive lineman type guys, just big bulky dudes that can throw a lot of weight around in the weight room. That's where shot is more suited towards because of the just kind of brute force nature of it.
And we have already reached halfway through the season. From your guys' perspective in your respective event groups, or maybe just as a team, for the team as a whole, how do you think the season has gone so far for the Raiders?
I'd say the season so far has been pretty good. We have a couple throwers that have been really standing out in Kian Morshing, Cody Caslow, and Jacob Meeker and Eli Hins have been really stepping up to the plate when it comes to our throwing category, as we lost someone due to injury earlier in the season. We've had a lot of guys step up, and those guys are only improving in their distances. So I'm very proud of them for that.
At least from my perspective, I've been absolutely amazed by what I've seen this track season, to where all the returners for, I mean, all the event group sprinters, mid-distance and long-distance, have either met their PRs or have already exceeded their PRs, which is absolutely crazy. And, but we've had a bunch of new guys this year, guys like Gavin Novotny. I mean, he's on pace to be one of the best track runners that we've had in over a decade. I think what he's running is sub-11.6 at this point, which was even faster than Braden Brackey at this point of the season last year, and he broke our school record. To our grid all around, and then this year we got bumped down classes to AA, which has helped improve our chances. So, you know, I'd say we're going up against smaller schools in general, which helps ease our competition a little bit. But no, to where, especially heading into the end of the season here, we're looking good for conference and sections. To where, Evan, would you have any thoughts on how the season's going so far?
Yeah, I mean, so far the season has just gone so fast. But it's been really interesting to see the growth of all the different events, because the throwers are kind of doing their own thing during practice, and the sprinters doing their own thing in practice. But then when we get to the meet, you're able to see everyone get better, and that's where you're able to see the progress of the team. And so I'm really looking forward to True Team in a couple of weeks, where everyone gets to compete and contribute to the team's success. And that's kind of where we initially build a lineup to succeed. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what the lineup's going to look like, and how that'll kind of be the initial draw to see how we will do postseason. And then we talked about Jaden going down to AA this year, but that section is still really stacked. I was looking at the 400 times. One of our really good 400 runners, Sam Soudin, he's ran a 53 already this season, and that puts him like 11th in the state. But there's three other boys within our section ahead of him, and top two go to state. So even though we're moving down to a section, that'll definitely open up new opportunities in quite a few events, but there's going to be some battles out there. And so I'm really looking forward to that section meet, because we'll all have the opportunity to succeed, and we won't have those powerhouse schools like Lakeville and Owatonna, which they're untouchable. But so it'll be exciting to go against Faribault and Casson Manorville. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to our relays, and it'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out in the postseason.
No, absolutely. Kind of like what Evan was saying. I mean, head coach for the boys, Ty O'Bail. He always says, well, we're going to go up against good competition this season. And I feel like that's especially true this time around.
Yeah. What's worked really well within your respective events or as a team so far? Any things that you've tried to install within the boys that you are working with?
This was kind of inspired by one of our coaches, Darwin. He suggested that we throwers, it's kind of like an inside joke that we are unathletic and we don't run. So we decided to make the throwers run before we start throwing this year. And I think that is kind of, I would say it's kind of given a team, like a better team feel, as you have this group of throwers that are all just running. It's just to a tree and back, but it's still, it's a nice like opener to our throwing segment of the practice that can kind of, you can kind of just, it's a nice feeling when you're doing it. And then at our meets, we're always bringing food and kind of having like a, I guess, communion of sorts at our team camp, because we're kind of secluded from the runners at meets. And so we always just kind of try to have our own kind of little campsite that we have set up there.
Yeah, at your practices, you get a little taste of what the people in track have to go through. But then we also never have to deal with the lifting and all of the hardships that come within that aspect of throwing. So,
no, to my perspective this season, one of the biggest changes from previous years has been we're trying to build a more grander team community. We had this old tradition where at the end of the 4x4, which the 4x4 would be the last race in the meet, to where now we have all the boys lined up at the last 100. And we have, you know, everybody cheer on the last relay teams, to where really, in general, we're trying to build a more team community, to where, you know, John was kind of saying, the throwers are kind of secluded in their own little spot, to where we've definitely tried to get more runners over there to try and cheer on the throwers, as they very much deserve.
Yeah, and definitely to build off that, we've also installed the last lap system, where we'll take a slow, very slow jog lap around the track, kind of as a catch-up at the end of meets. And that's a new thing this year that we've tried implementing. And I think it's been nice, and I think it's kind of a fun little laugh to always have as this big group as we are coming around the lap about to board on the buses.
No, absolutely. And then I suppose another thing we've started doing is team shout-outs. After the famous lap that John was talking about, you know, the captains will pick someone that had an absolutely great race that day, and then shout them out at the end of the beat.
Kind of building off of what you guys have done well this season, what are some things you guys are hoping to improve on as the season kind of wraps up?
I think what we're really just trying to focus on is we're just trying to focus on getting farther distances, because we're trying to kind of building blocks for next year. Because once the senior class moves on, we need people to step up and, I guess, replace us. So we're really just trying to ensure that the younger kids can get to another level of success. And I've definitely seen that in some kids.
Oh, absolutely. To where I'd say the main goal for the rest of the season would be to continue the progress that we've already made. To where I'd say we've laid an absolutely great foundation for this season, and then we're just trying to build from there. To where I suppose it was from a non-captain perspective, is there a... anything that you would think the team would need to improve on at all?
I think bringing the girls and boys teams together a little bit more would be great. I know that we've began to have less meetings at the beginning of every practice just to let everyone work out and work things through a little bit better. And having the boys and girls teams together is definitely time consuming, and we do not do it very often. But I think especially this year with like all of the boys and girls sprinters having different coaching and like warming up separately, I think there's just a lot of division. And so I would love to see in like these last couple of weeks, just the boys and girls come together a little bit more. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do like a team bonding boys versus girls type thing. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
That would definitely be fun.
No, absolutely. I was just about to say that.
I'm sorry to steal your thunder there.
No problem.
And speaking of team bondings, have you guys held any team bondings so far this season?
We did host a bowling night at the start of the season, and we had an okay turnout for that. And then recently we had one of our meets got rained out, and we decided to do indoor single ball dodgeball, I think for what it was probably like 30 minutes or so. It was just us guys just kind of all getting together and I guess throwing a ball at each other, but we definitely had fun while doing that. And then as far as the throwing group goes, we planned recently that not this Friday but next Friday we are going to Grand Slam, and we are gonna have a little throwers outing for that.
Yeah, Sure, that's what we've done so far for the season. To where for the rest of the season, I think we'll try to get down to the Blast one day to get some ice cream as a team, and then...
Yeah, something else that we're looking forward to is we're doing a heptathlon coming up pretty soon, and so that'll be a fundraiser for our team, and we'll be able to throw in some fun events like a pop relay and maybe like a pole vault relay where you use a pole vault pole as a baton, and I think we have some other things like maybe javelin throw. So if anyone's listening and wants to support the track team, I think that'll be an opportunity to fundraise a little bit for us. So.
Mm-hmm. And if you are just tuning into the Raider Wrap, we are meeting with boys track captains, John Newberg and Jaden Heidela.
And as both of your senior years are kind of coming to an end, what would you say has been your favorite memory within the track team over your years of high school track?
I'd say just meets in general have been overall a highlight. Some have been better, some have been worse, but there's definitely been camaraderie that has been really just cool to see, and it's kind of what hooked me into track when I started as a 10th grader. So it's just always been something I've always enjoyed.
For me, so track has always been said to be more of an individual sport, but it's the moments when the team really comes together that have been my favorite moments, and where we're able to support each other. To where I can't even remember what was going on at the time, but when I was a sophomore, you know, Colin Graff, he was the captain at the time. I was having a bad day, but, you know, as captain, he approached me, he helped me out, he gave me a bit of a pep talk. And it's like, that just made my day, you know, it's having a absolute stud, you know, Colin Graff, you know, to take the time to, you know, try to make me feel better. And then all the other moments where we come together as team, whether it be team bondings or at the end of every meet for the 4x4, it's really just building the team community.
And as you are both seniors this year, do you guys have any post-high school plans yet?
Yeah, so next year I'll be attending the University of Minnesota as a agriculture and food business management major. So
I'll be going down to Evanston next year for Northwestern, and I'll be an econ major.
Nice. Congratulations to both of you. And as we're wrapping up our interview today, what would you say brings you back to track each practice and each year? What is the reason that you want to come back and be a part of the track team?
I think track, as it is a real sport, it is definitely a sport that you can have fun with. I think there's a lot of sports that are like high intensity, so you kind of have to buckle down and like focus, versus track, it's a lot more easy flowing. And that's just always what has brought me back. And it's just kind of laid back, but you're still serious about your sport.
No, absolutely. I definitely agree with John. Another thing is absolutely the team, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, the track meets, love them or hate them, you know. They're going to be 6 hours every time. To where just being able to get to talk and meet a lot of new people is always great.
Another thing I want to add on to that is track is kind of fun because you get to be with a group of people that we have football players coming together, swimmers, cross-country kids, basketball players, and then we're all a part of the track team. So that's one thing that I really love about track, and just being able to be with all your school friends and coming together to be part of one team.
Absolutely.
I agree. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
No, once again, it was my pleasure.
Well, best of luck at your upcoming meets and competing in those, and thank you, boys, for coming in today.
If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. That's a wrap on this week's Meet the Raider with your host, Liz Campbell.
And Evan Lowe. Keep tuning in this week for more sports on KYMN 95.1.
Hi, Paul Ryland here from Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers. Spring is the perfect time to come out and view our model homes, be it to inform your next dream home or retirement home or for a growing family. Find out why a new construction might be the best fit for you. Come to our model homes Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 1 to 4 or by appointment. Our Northfield model home is located at 431 Ford Street East over by the soccer fields.
Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, or give us a call, 507-366-1288.
Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, a family tradition of over 50 years.
You finally feel like your business is positioned well for the future instead of just playing catch up. So what changed? Well, you might have to give credit to Merchants Bank, your new bank. Before, you didn't have the personal connection to a banker who really understood your needs. But now with Merchants Bank, you're backed by a team who shares your vision and what it will take to get you there. Plus, they've introduced treasury management tools to save time and money, making you more efficient. Thanks, Merchants Bank. Can't wait to see what's next.
When your car is under extended warranty, there's no need to go back to the dealership. The team at Witt Brothers has dealt with every kind of extended warranty company. With a quick call, they'll know exactly what it'll take to get your repairs covered. Warranties are there to reduce stress and risk, so let Witt Brothers make actually using that warranty as easy as possible. For all your automotive maintenance and repair needs, drive to Witt Brothers Service, located at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield.
Well, that's a wrap, boys and girls. Cats and kittens, dudes and dudettes, 11 o'clock. Hi. On the 27th day of April here, a high today of about 61. It cooled off a couple degrees here. Winds kind of shifted a little bit, so it's a little bit on the cooler side. 48 currently. Maybe it'll get to 61. Looks like it's going to be cloudy all week long with plenty of moisture. We certainly needed April showers bringing them Mayflowers. Well, hey, enjoy National Prime Rib Day. Get out and get yourself something to eat because, you know, you got to have meat. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu for yet another week. Join us again next week at 10 o'clock. Thank you so much to our guest this morning, Jeff Wright, the boys' lacrosse team, along with Lexi Helverson, the girls' lacrosse coach, joining us to talk all things lacrosse today. And if you missed anything, you want to tune back in or you want to listen again, go to kymnradio.net, go to the program section, click on programs, click on the Raider Wrap, and then click on today's date. Give me about 10, 15 minutes. I'll get that up online for you here in just a couple of minutes. And John Newberg, along with Jaden Heidela, joining the Meet the Raider this morning, Liz Campbell on the Raider scoreboard. Thank you so much. Join us next Saturday at 10 a.m. right here on the 195.1, the 1, KYMN and AM 1080. Have a good day.
Spring fishing is finally here, and Fleet Farm has everything you need to reel in more fish this year. Upgrade your gear with the best brands like Rapala, Berkley, and St. Croix. Find exclusive flicker sheds you won't find anywhere else, starting at $12.99. Get rod and reel combos starting at only $24.99. And shop our wide selection of fishing line that starts at just $4.99. Land top fishing gear and everything else you need for everyday life at Fleet Farm.